Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic edition of What's the Point? I am here with my good friend, Nathan Birch. Nathan, how are you doing today?
Great, Patrick. It is great to be here. We have the amazing John McCabe, principal at Parkway West High School, here to join us to talk a little bit about the high school experience and the impact that leadership can have on our students as they enter their last phase of public education, at least, before they go on to whatever secondary looks like for them. John, thanks for having us. But we need to start off with this. Are you related to Andrew McCabe? Do you know who Andrew McCabe is?
Are you talking about like the former government official?
FBI director?
Yeah, yes. I am not.
Okay, good. So I wanted to clarify that before we got too into things because we didn't want to say anything that would upset you.
Funny note on that. Actually have some clips in my phone of former President Trump's when he would be speaking about Andrew McCabe, and I would edit it to just have McCabe with any of the comments that would come after it. So it really sounded like he was speaking about me, which my friends thought were pretty hilarious.
That is awesome.
Because he was usually calling him a terrible person and a bad guy. So I used it pretty well. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Obviously. So as we maybe just start off telling us a little bit about, obviously now you are principal at Parkway West High School. But I also know you've had a couple stops along your education journey. So if you want to share a little bit, just kind of your background, so we have a better idea of who you are.
Yeah. So education in my blood. My mom was an educator. Even back, I was actually born in Ireland. My mom was an educator there, kind of a fully comprehensive, fully experiential learning center. Came over here. She was a private educator for her entire career and an administrator herself. So when I was going to school and deciding, it quickly became clear that I was probably going to be a teacher too, which I was. So started off, I taught for a year at a 6-7-8 middle school in Webster Groves. It was a private school. It's now called Holy Cross Academy. And after that year, really wanted to kind of go just a little bit of a different route. And so my mom had been in private education her entire career. I wanted to give public education a try. So I applied for a position at Brentwood Middle School, which I got. Dr. Julie Sperry, who now works for Ed Plus, was my first principal. And I remember being really scared of her. Like, she just commanded the building, and it was just one of those moments where, like, man, I don't know how I could ever command a building like that, like she did. But it was also a motivator. I'm like, as I reflect now on leadership positions and all the different leaders that I've worked with, like, I just remember that so vividly. And she still does that. I've gone to her workshops and still commands the room. I remember even being just blown away by the interview process. Like, at the private school, I met one time with the principal. And then at Brentwood, it was a phone call with her. And then it was a phone call with her and the assistant principal. And then I came in and met with her and the assistant principal. And then I show up another day, and there's 12 people looking at me, parents, teachers, counselors, her, the administrative team. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And so, like, just instantly, I just had this, like, this feels like such a important thing to do, to be a public educator. Like, look at how they're vetting to make sure they're finding somebody that they think is of quality to put in front of their students. And so I got the job. And so I was middle school kind of through and through there for a long time. I taught 6, 7, 8, all different communication arts classes for Brentwood. I got my master's in that time, and probably about 5 years in, I was really kind of looking through the lens of administration seems like a path that I would enjoy. Like, I really got into leading some of the professional development for the building and then ultimately the district. Brentwood School District, wonderful district, very small district, and so you wear a lot of hats, do a lot of different things, and so really got into that, and so I felt like myself kind of continuing to look for more leadership opportunities. And so after about 7 years in completing my master's program, I started to look. I got a new principal in that time. His name was Andrew Leuterstein, who just recently retired from Brentwood. Wonderful guy, close friend. I text and call regularly with him, and he knew that I was aspiring to be an administrator, and so supportive and always encouraging of that. And so after my ninth year as a teacher, I got an opportunity very late. And so late July, I saw a position post actually in the Fox School District. Nathan, which I know you would have been there at the time.
That's where I started, yeah.
And it was for an intern administrative position at Antonia Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And I had made it to the second round, so I was at the panel round with them, and a friend called me and let me know about another position that was available, and I'm like, what? Like, this was an odd late posting to begin with, and it was for Maplewood Richmond Heights, and it was a 7-12 kind of assisting at the middle school level, high school level. And so, you know, it was very close to Brentwood, similar community. And so I was like, yeah, well, I'll apply. And so I applied there as well. So I ended up having final interviews on the same day at both jobs. And Mike Dietrich was the principal. He's now in their central office. And Kevin Grauer, who is a very close friend as well to this day, who's actually now the head high school principal at Fort Zumwalt South. Just two mentors, incredibly great guys. And the opportunity to work with them at Maplewood just called to me. And so I took that position. I was very fortunate to get that position and step in and get to work there and just learn from both of them. And I really got a great scope of 7th grade through 12th grade, middle into high with transitions. And it was just a really great experience, and I loved it. And after my first year there, I was approached by some of the central office figures, and they asked me if I would start working with their alternative education program, which was just phenomenal. And so for the next 3 years at my time at Maplewood and Richmond Heights, I helped direct and lead the alternative education program at Maplewood and Richmond Heights. In that time, my wife, who's also an administrator, she began to work for the Parkway School District. She's an employee of Special School District, but she was hired as a special education administrator. And so we moved to the Parkway School District. We were very excited about that. And I just told her, I was like, you know, I always thought of myself as kind of a smaller district guy, you know, doing a lot of things, wearing a lot of hats. But there was an alternative education program in Parkway that, you know, I said, if that ever became available, I'd definitely be interested. And just things happened for a mm-hmm. reason. And my wife came home one night and she's like, you're not going to believe this, but that job is becoming available. And I was like, okay. And it was the same kind of thing. It was super late. It was like early May. And that was the first time I met Dr. Jennifer Stanfield, the director of choice programs here in Parkway. And so had an interview with her and Dr. Beckner later that week. Went in and went through a grueling interview process with panels of students and parents and administrators and the entire staff at Fern Ridge. It was a really great experience because it was Fern Ridge in a nutshell in one mm-hmm. 4-hour afternoon interview of just, you know, you never are sure exactly what it's going to look like. And so I took a leap after I was lucky enough to be afforded that opportunity to be the principal at Fern Ridge. And so I was there for 3 years. And Dr. Jeremy Mitchell, the former principal, one of the guys on the wall out there, he called me in December and kind of gave me a little heads up that, like, I might not be the principal at Parkway West forever. And if I'm not, like, I really think you should think about it. And I was like, hey, I really appreciate it, but I'm really happy. I've got working with great people, great kids. I got a lot of things I want to do here. And so then he announced in January, later that year, that he was going to be retiring. And he called me back and he's like, so have you thought about what I said? And I said, I really have. And he's like, so you're applying? And I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's what it's going to be. You know, I'm really thinking about things. And he's like, you really need to think about it. He's like, think about it. And I did. And what I thought about the most was, so Dr. Tori Kane, who's now an assistant superintendent in Pattonville, and was the principal at Parkway North for 9 years. Dr. H at Parkway South, who retired when Dr. Mitchell retired, was there for nine years as well. Jeremy was here for 12 years. And Tim McCarthy, who my mentor, incredible administrator at Parkway Central, this is year 13. And so I just really started to think to myself, I'm like, my goodness, like, these opportunities do not come along very often at all. To be a principal at Parkway at one of these incredible schools, it just really started to speak to me. And so that's kind of how I ended up here. And once I started to really dig into Parkway West and what it was, like, I ended up growing up in a very small town south of St. Louis, St. Genevieve. I went to a very small private high school that I'm very proud of. And so, like, Parkway West, as big as it feels, we have over 1,400 students. It is a small town. And in a lot of ways, Parkway is too. And I love that feel. And so just everything, you know, we're conducting this interview on a Friday night. And in my gym, I've got a huge wrestling tournament that's going to be going on all weekend. In my theater, I've got an improv night. You know, it just feels alive all the time. And I love that feeling. Like, just, you know, you can really put your life's work into a place like Parkway West, and it just calls to me. So, incredibly lucky, incredibly proud to be here. And that's kind of how I ended up.
I think that's interesting. So I am lucky enough to be in the same West community as John and get to feel and experience. And I think it's probably pretty similar to a lot of the other high school communities, at least what I've experienced in the St. Louis area, of a lot of just pride in the school, pride in that. But I also think it lends to the fact of it gives kids a feeling of comfort and knowing of feeling in that and thinking about their last year, their last years of education. And I know we were talking before this about that's one of the big things that you see the role of high school, of giving kids a chance to experience life, figure out who they are, make mistakes and those things. So, you know, what are the kind of the roles or the things that you run into when you have these kids from the ages of, you know, 15 to 18 that are coming to you, before they go out into the world or on their own? What role does leadership, does the school, does the community play in helping that develop in kids?
So one of the things that I just know, and I feel very fortunate to be a part of, is, as you know, Nathan, we spend once a month all together as principals in Parkway together. And I think that time is really valuable because it gives us a really good perspective of not just what's happening in our buildings. And it's really easy to get sucked into the tunnel vision that is, like, your job, your work, your school. And when I get to hear about the things that are happening in our early childhood programs and in our elementary schools and then in our middle schools, like, I know all the strengths that I then get to build on. And I think one of the things that a high school principal in particular has to think about is that transitional time from middle school to high school. Students have already had transitions multiple times, from elementary to middle, or even from early childhood to elementary, and then elementary, or and then middle to high school. And it's not that any one level is more important or less important than another, but the way that the stakes seem to change because of the way that different elements are in play. So, for example, at the middle school level, you're not as focused on credits. Like, credits in terms of moving from grade to grade are not an element at play. Whereas I need every parent, every guardian, every person that is in the life of a high school student to understand that when we start in high school, this is a cumulative 4 years where we are looking at kind of filling in a huge pie chart. And there are 24 big pieces that have to be filled with very specific criterion and very specific elements, but also you're going to have a lot of choice in what that looks like. And so I feel like one of the first steps that we have as leaders is to make that transitional time a key focus so that we try to make the high school experience transparent. And we're going to provide you a lot of really cool opportunities. There's a lot of really great stuff you can get involved in. We have over 90 clubs and activities and sports at Park OS High School. I mean, that number in and of itself, the amount of dedicated coaches, support personnel, and individuals interacting in that work is just, really, it stops me a lot when I think about all of those chances that our kids get. And at the end of the day, I think that's the most important thing that we do is provide opportunities for schools to, or for students to engage with their school. And I think our most successful students are students that are involved in things not just in the classroom, but extensions of the classroom and then just extensions of themselves. And so I believe as a leader in this building, my job is to make that transparent to every person that walks through. Like, we have all these opportunities. There's something for everybody to get involved in. And I also think it's my job to tell that line that I think your success is not going to happen in a silo. I think students that have grades and GPA as their primary motivator, my job is to also tell them, like, hey, we want you to be well-rounded. We want you to learn what those passions are that aren't just the grades and the academics. What are the things that bring you joy? Because I think what I've learned about myself as a leader and what I've learned about my job in leading students and staff is one of the biggest pieces I have to take on is reminding people of that whole child, that whole person. And when you try to hyper-focus on one thing, you are blocking out some of those other things that need to be in focus as well. And so I really believe that first step in leadership at the high school level is, how are we going to make high school seem doable? Because when you walk in for that transitional meeting, it is an overwhelming thought of all the things that are going to happen in those 4 years. And so breaking it down and making it manageable, making it fun, kind of parceling things out to really allow thought to focus on different things. You know, it's not an easy task, and it takes a lot of really great individuals to help support that work. Counselors, teachers, other administrators. You know, in a building like mine, I've got 4 assistant principals.
Do you have a favorite assistant principal that you want to shout out?
I know that Dr. Papillo is a very good friend of yours.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not saying I would put him on the top of the list.
I definitely do not have a favorite principal because...
See how you got to be the principal.
I have to go to each of them for so many different things, which I also think is another, you know, talking about leadership and what's the point. You know, I was an assistant principal for 4 years, and then I was a principal at Fern Ridge for 3. And when I was the assistant principal, it was this sense of calm that came over me, because when I had really serious stuff that I had to deal with at the middle school level, I was always like, well, you know, I'm going to give Mike my ideas, but ultimately it's going to be on him. Or I'm going to give Grauer some ideas, but ultimately it's going to be on him. And then I got to Fern Ridge and it was all on me, but I was by myself. So, like, ultimately the decisions, you know, I knew I was making them, so I knew exactly how I was going to answer to them and things like that. When you take on a larger building like Parkway West, where you have four assistant principals, one of the biggest things that I had to adjust to was that, like, I was used to leading teachers. I wasn't as used to leading an administrative team, which we could probably do an entire other episode on that, because that is a different thing. Because I don't want to speak, because these are conversations that we've kind of had, and we've lightly but not in depth. You know, I think there's, and so I won't speak about my particular assistant principal team, but I think there are individuals that they want to be assistant principals. And so managing someone who loves that role and wants to do that role forever is different than somebody that might want to be a building principal. Mm-hmm. And providing them opportunities to kind of pursue some things that would put them in a better position to be a great building principal. And there's not really a handbook for that. Like, it you really have to start navigating what that looks like as you're living it. And so that's something that I'm still settling into now. And so, you know, kind of kicking off here about what it's like being a high school principal, like, I really kind of handled things the way that I kind of saw it, with the transitional element and our job to make that high school experience kind of known for people, and then managing my administrative team. Those are two unique challenges to kind of start. Now, there's many, but those are two of the things that I approach, you know, daily, that I find to be really, really fun and exciting challenges to that. I mean, there's just something that I love about the transitional time for our freshmen. Like, it's a brand new world for freshmen, right? And that comes with all the emotions, the really excited, the really nervous, the like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, to the like, oh, I'm already, you know, two steps down the road. And so that just excites me to, like, take that on every day. And so it's really great. And when you kind of juxtapose that with our sophomores who have a year under their belt, and our juniors who are now kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and our seniors who are really close to that next step, it's just, I can't think of anything that I was built or want to do more than be a high school principal.
I enjoy hearing your story. And I before I ask my question, I just want to say a few things. One, I replaced Andrew Leuterstein at Washington Middle School when he moved to Brentwood to become the principal. And then I went to high school with Kevin Grauer, and he and I are very good friends.
Wow.
As well.
And believe it or not, you are not our first, everything's connected, you are not our first guest that was born in Great Britain. You're our second.
Well, I was born in Ireland.
Oh, Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, he's our second European.
European,
right. Yeah. Yes. That, well, I appreciate that.
I'm going to cut that part out. We'll, I know Ireland's not part of Great Britain. Yeah, so that'll be edited.
It's all right. We focus on continental territories more than high school level.
Yeah, I say I'm from North America when people ask me.
That's right.
The impact of this What's the Point podcast is worldwide. So you're just making that happen.
Well, to my friends in Dublin, we're holding it down here in St. Louis.
Probably like thousands
listening to this right now.
So most of our guests, as of this moment, have been elementary principals. We have had one that was a secondary school assistant principal. So for our listeners, our avid listeners, who are either currently in the role of a secondary administrator or aspiring to be a secondary administrator, what are some of the biggest challenges that secondary school administrators face?
That is a doozy of a question right there. So I'm gonna take it from a real logistical side first. On the logistical side, so earlier in the podcast I mentioned we have 94 clubs and activities. I think I also mentioned that it's Friday night and I got wrestling mm-hmm. down in the gym, and I got a couple hundred people watching that. I'm going to have a theater full of people. Last night we had five basketball games. Tuesday night we had our winter jazz concert. Next Tuesday night we'll have our winter ensemble And choir concert, along with 8 more basketball games on Wednesday. And so people have to be there on the administrative side for all of those things. And four assistant principals and a principal, along with an athletic director, sounds like a lot of people. But when you have our girls basketball playing on the road tonight and somebody needs to be there, and you've got to cover, you know, between my athletic director and myself, all the things that are going on here tonight, that piece of it can be challenging because, you know, we have it split up to try to balance the coverage. But Friday night football, you know, we have a couple thousand people in the stands for football, and it's fantastic. It's everything I love about being a high school principal, and everything that worries me. I got a couple thousand people in the stands, you know, and things happen, right? People fall, people trip, somebody might get into some words with one another. It's a competitive contest. And you got to be able to manage and patrol all that to the best of your ability. Keep everybody, it's the same things that we focus on in schools, right? You got to keep everybody safe. You got to have systems in place. You got to be able to manage the situation. And that just takes people. And in particular, it takes, from an administrative lens, authority, with, you know, for lack of a better phrase, that comes with being an administrator. You know, you're an authority figure in the position. A leader. And so, you know, that can be trying. You know, my wife and I joke, like, our weekends start on Saturday mornings, because, you know, we're here till late, on Friday and late a lot of other nights. And so there just comes a sacrificial piece of being a high school administrator that I know all administrators feel, K-12. But the late nights of duty, like being on duty for events, can be taxing. And that's the tough part, because you also get to see the best of the best. Like, you get to see kids triumph in their sporting events. You get to see kids put on incredible displays of their talent musically or acting, or speech and debate, like, you name it. And so it's a great trade-off. It's wonderful to be a part of that, but I got 2 little girls at home, and a wife who says she likes spending time with me. You know, I don't have a lie detector test at home, but I believe her for the most part. And so, you know, just not being able to be in 2 places at once is just tough. And it comes with the territory for all administrators, but especially at the high school level with the nights and weekends. You know, that part can just be tough sometimes. I'm very lucky because, as you can see, I'm pointing at the wall. But my family really embraces the small town, I want to be a part of everything, attitude. And that's just one of the things that Abby and I talked about when I was applying for the position was, you know, this is a lifestyle choice that we're making, because a lot of things that we do are going to be involved with the school. And I told her, I was like, I want the girls to be running around in the halls, you know, playing with their toys and doing stuff. And I've gotten to live that. They're a part of this place too. And I think it's one of my favorite parts, but it is still a challenge. And so just on the secondary level, I think that piece is just something to really think about. Trying to think of other specifics to the secondary level.
One of the things I think that maybe would be interesting, I think, is I have the ability to sit back as an elementary principal and not necessarily have to deal with some of the things, the bigger things that you have to deal with, right? You know, at an elementary level, when we're thinking of discipline things, not that they're not serious or they're not, you know, things that we need to work on, but very rarely do they involve police. Very rarely do they involve serious consequences for students that could alter their life. But we see that all the time of these things that happen of kids at that age making those choices. So I would imagine that that's part of your job, of the risk or the of what's going on, of a kid making a choice in high school could have a far bigger impact, and then how to respond and kind of everything that goes along with that.
There is absolutely No doubt. I think that is one of the things that I am so conscious of all the time. You know, if you metaphorically, if you think about kind of our life as, you know, in a nutshell, and, you know, we're kids when we're in school. You know, that's just kind of synonymous. Like when you're in school, you're a kid, okay? Well, at the high school level, you are at the end of the kid range. You know, you are a young adult. You are really developing for what is the next step. So this is really the last sandbox that you get to play in, the high school experience. So it is really a forethought of mine always, like at the front of my brain, to remember that we're still kids. You know, we are still students. We make mistakes. We are starting to have to think about what the next step looks like. And for some students, it's more than we have to. It's like, want to. I'm really excited about the next steps and things like that. But where I feel a lot of pressure, and it doesn't show up on any test score, it doesn't exist in any of the data that we review for MSIP or, you know, comparative results in different, you know, AP tests. It just doesn't show up there. And that is, we still have an ability to teach kids not just X's and O's, not just algebraic equations, but like there are things that happen here that you can learn from and apply to your life when you are out in the world, whether that's in college, whether that's in a career, whatever it is you choose to do next. And so, you know, when I think about discipline situations like that, I do everything I can to actually be able to handle it as an administrator at West High and not involving, you know, others unless I have to. And I don't say that because I don't want other people involved. It's because the consequences that come for disciplinary infractions at the high school level ultimately are learning experiences. You made a mistake. And while the stakes in high school are high, they are not at the height of what it is out in the real world. You know, if you do something at a job, if you use inappropriate language, or if you say something to your boss that you shouldn't, maybe something inappropriate, if you get into a fight or you're confrontational, if you get into somebody else's space or you put hands on somebody, in the high school, we might have a disciplinary reaction to that. There might be consequences to that. And what my hope is, and this doesn't always translate well when we're in the heat of something that's happening in the building, or when I'm on the phone with a parent and they hear that their child's going to be getting in trouble, is this is still that smaller sandbox. It's that place where we're still learning about life. And while it's challenging in that moment to think like that, my goal, and I'm using disciplinary now, but I apply it in a lot of different ways, is for you to be able to take this experience, and when you are in that next phase, to think back and be like, man, I remember when that happened in school. And I remembered at that moment I didn't want anything like that to happen again. And so when you're out in the world, you're prepared for the next step. That's the piece that doesn't show up. Our job is to prepare you for the next step of life. Elementary is preparing for middle and opening new worlds. Middle school is preparing for high school and giving kids a lot of tastes of different things that they might be interested in, that they might want to pursue when they're looking at high school course catalogs and getting more choice in their schedule. And then high school is preparing for that college or that career, and also life. Like I realize, like at a job, this might have gotten me fired. At high school, it doesn't. You know, the worst that's going to happen here is a suspension of some length. And I don't say that lightly. Like any time out of school is a missed learning opportunity that nobody wants to have happen. But it is smaller scale than something like losing a job or breaking the law and getting in trouble and learning like these are the choices you can't make because of the consequences continue to grow. So I feel like we're the last place where like the focus really still is on learning and not some of the harsh realities of life. And that comes with a lot of pressure because, you know, some of those conversations are really difficult because really, really great students like we have at Parkway West and great families and parents like we have at Parkway West, everybody's constantly thinking about the future. And so every decision that we make, it can be really upsetting because, well, how's this going to impact our future? What's a college going to say if they see a suspension? And so we really take that into account with every difficult decision that we make, which again goes back to kind of working with your leadership team. That's something that those decisions are not ever made in isolation. My assistant principals, one of the things I always tell them, I need you guys on the same page to bring to me what you're thinking, because we have to be very, very conscious of how we're addressing situations in our building. They need to be equitable. They need to consider all the factors, and we need to be making recommendations that make sense. And so that's a collaborative topic that we frequently are giving opinions and ideas about because we want to make the best decisions for our students. And so I think that's one of the big things that I think about so much and just find a lot of pressure in is what it is to be a leader right before the next step and how we guide our staff. And because the pressure that our teachers feel when you're teaching high school level classes, because of all those things that I listed before, cumulative GPAs and scores on AP tests. And I mean, our teachers are doing some of the hardest, most incredible work to prepare our students for those high stakes tests, exams, grades that all are, you know, contributing to what the next step shape might look like. Scholarship opportunities, job opportunities, internship opportunities. That I think is one of the things that I put the most pressure on myself about is how do I ensure that we are creating a space for our students to be as successful as they possibly can, but also really learn not just the academics, not just the social and emotional, but how to prepare for the next step and be ready from all their experiences in high school to be prepared for life.
So how do you communicate out that vision, which it sounds like, you know, the whole child, right? You want them to be prepared academically, but also socially, emotionally to move on to that next step in life. But I, as you mentioned, you know, there are many kids have the pressure of I need that A in this class, or I can't have this on my record, or I need this on my transcript. So how do you keep that message at the forefront of your leadership team, your teachers, as well as the community? Because I'm sure at times there are pressures, like I want my son or daughter to be going to X college, and focusing on maybe some of that other stuff isn't going to get them there, so they think. So how would you describe like how you built relationships with the teachers and the parents of your school, as well as the students?
Yeah. So I really, as far as I'll start with the parents. So, you know, I try to make myself as accessible as I possibly can. I try to really do everything I can to make myself visible and available in spaces. I walk a little cart of goodies around as often as I can. My teachers would probably say not enough, and I agree with them. It's one of my favorite things to do, but sometimes just things get in the way. It really is those just organic conversations of how we can touch base more. Like, hey, how are things going? Like, investing in your staff, letting them know that you care about them. Like, I really, you know, care so much about the people that I work with. So, you know, those conversations that you start to have oftentimes move from a place of we're talking about life and home and into the natural piece of what's happening in your classroom, what are some of the goods, what are some of the bads, like, and I think those are good. So like just talking to people, like I know it sounds very low level, you know, work, but it's, I think, some of the most important work you can do is just connecting to your staff and letting them know you care about them. And so you know, from there, it is the strategic. We have a very, I talk a lot with my leadership team about, you know, there are times where being a, so in at West High School with all of our different departments, there are leadership positions for the different departments. And so we invite that group of people to a meeting once a month, and it's our leadership team meeting. And I really have trying to, am trying, and it's a work in progress, to be intentional about making that a space for collaborative decision-making, thought processing, and not just sit and get with me sharing information. Sometimes it is that, unfortunately, which is always why it's a growth area. And then sometimes it's, you know, really opening it up to what's going on in the building. What would you like to see? How can we be better? How can you advise and advocate for your students, your department, and advise me? How can this be a better building? This is our building. And so I think that, like, opening up those communication lines, meeting with my union leadership to talk about building issues regularly. We actually schedule our meetings now to take place before we meet with our building leadership team, so that any issues that come up that might be more, hey, the sinks aren't working, okay, well, that's something I'm going to take care of, versus we're seeing some processes that we have in the building that are breaking down. Well, that's something that we probably need to talk about as a collective. Mm-hmm. And so creating space for us to talk as, you know, creating what I feel like is a more equitable leadership group that feels like they have voice. I think that's one of the hardest things that a principal, a leader can do, is it's not just to say I have a leadership team. It's to actually get people to feel like their voice is valued and heard. Definitely not something that I feel like I've mastered at all. It's something that will be forever a work in progress, because you always want to continue to empower the people in your building to feel like they are being heard and valued. And so that is something that will always be a focus of mine. And so then, you know, kind of shifting from how I'm creating leadership opportunities or how I'm creating voice for teachers in the building to parents. So I'm going to go back to the 94 clubs and activities. I really think that, like, you, as a building principal, you have to be at stuff. Like, and I, that again sounds simple, but like, you have to invest in the kids that are in your building. And so if you are investing your time, like, people know that you're there and that you're watching and that you care. And so then when they need to have a conversation with you, whether it's, I need support or I need help, or I just want to tell you this, like, it has value. Like, because I think you're building trust. And I think that's the hardest thing to build, is trust. Like, every new principal and every aspiring principal, what's the point? Is build trust. Because when people trust you, they will follow you into the really easy decisions, the not so easy decisions, and the really hard decisions. Because I think one of the other things that we are trying to always evolve to is a place of change and moving things forward. And so that comes with kind of doing some heavy lifting. And it's not easy to get people to do heavy lifting unless they believe in what you're doing and they trust you. Like, okay, he's going to follow through. He shows up. She shows up. She does this. He does this. So, you know, I think being there and being present and really investing opens the communication. And then there's other standard things. I promote regularly things that I want people invested in and involved in, which is, you know, reaching out to counselors for various opportunities and support. Our counseling department here at West, they send a weekly newsletter. It's a weekly newsletter, a counseling hub. I just think it's such a great resource. Like, we list jobs, we list opportunities, we list reminders about upcoming things, big things, and it's just something that they take on, they do, I look it over every Friday and I'm like, wow, like what a great group. Like, look at what they're doing. We have a college and career counselor, Mr. Lorenz, and he just, I mean, I can't think of anybody who's more invested in how do I make sure that everybody is understanding and aware of what these kids are going through. And I'm going to give a little story about him really quick. I'm sitting in a meeting with Nathan the other day, and as I'm there, I read this email, and it's from Mr. Lorenz. And I think this really encapsulates some of the high school experience in a nutshell. So you've got these 4 years, and you're working towards things. And for some students, the goal from day one is, I want to go to this school, I'm going to have this GPA, I'm doing these things. And so for some of the more highly competitive scholarships, for some of the more early advance notice to acceptance into school, that happens in early December. And the early deadline for application is as early as late September, October for some of those schools. And so Chris, you know, dedicating himself to supporting and working with students getting college and career ready, he sends out an email to our entire staff. And it was just such a stop in my tracks moment where he was just like, hey, some of our kids are going to be getting updates and information from the colleges that they've applied to. And for some of them, it's going to be the most incredible day of their lives. And for some of them that get waitlisted or they're told, you know, potentially you're not getting into this school, it could be a crushing day. And that, I think, speaks to some of the most challenging pieces of high school all in one email. And like, just to put that on everybody's radar, you know, for how you might be approaching, if you saw a student, one of your seniors that's usually up, and so many of our seniors are, they're just, you know, the senior experience is in and of itself just one of my favorite things. Seeing the excitement and pushing them through to the end is just one of my favorite things. But just to be aware, like, hey, if you saw somebody that is a little down, like, think about this. Like, they might have gotten some of the most difficult news of their life. It just really, like, you know, I didn't tell him to send that. I didn't mention it. Like, it was just, he knew. And he wanted our staff to be aware of that and just a reminder. I just, you know, just it just took me, you know, a second to just be like, wow, like just a dedicated professional who knows it's more than just one thing. It's the whole experience for a student, how to cheer them if they got it. And then in the same classroom, you might have somebody who's going through the toughest day of their life, and to just be prepared for that. I just, those kinds of things really, I think, encapsulate high school. And that's it. There's highs, there's lows, it's emotional. It's awesome.
So the name of the podcast is What's the Point? So at the end, we always ask, you know, thinking about our conversation of what's the point. So if you're a high school principal or somebody going into leadership, or maybe you're sitting in your office for your first time and you're about to be a principal, what would your advice be, or what would be the main things that you would want somebody to take away from how to maximize those 4 years you have with kids to have the greatest impact you can have on them so that they can go on and what we want for them to live a life of purpose, of meaning? What advice would you give those leaders that are sitting there looking at, okay, what can I do to make sure that those kids have that?
I think the first thing that I would say to do is just, some of the things I've been saying, like, I would just be at things. Like, showing kids that you care is the first way you're going to build trust. And if you're out there cheering for them and find them in the hall the next couple of days and be like, man, like, that was awesome. Like, I didn't know you had those kind of talents, you know, whether it's, you know, on an athletic field or on a court or in a classroom. Just promoting and praising, like, all the talents that you get to see, and then having those conversations with the kids, just listening to them. You know, I think one of the hardest things just for people in general is I just feel like we're not in a society that listens as much as we used to do. Everybody kind of has their idea and they want to get it out. And so I think some of the things, like some of the times that like I'm dealing with some of the things that we all deal with as principals, it's when a kid and a teacher have an issue in class, one of them feels like they're not being listened to. The teacher feels like the kid's not paying attention and they're acting up. And then when you actually talk to the student, they're like, well, the teacher, I don't understand this. And when I tell her I don't understand, or when I tell him I don't understand, and it's a communication breakdown. And so like as an aspiring administrator or an administrator that's stepping into a new role, you got to listen to everybody. And to build the line with the kids, it is really getting to know them. You want to know what they like, what they don't like. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, ask kids about themselves. Like, hey, you know, what do you do? There's 1,400 students in this building. There, every single day, I walk down the hall, I see somebody that I've seen for the first time. And I really try to say hi or smile or get to know the students in any way that I can. And some don't want to have anything to do with me. But that's not going to stop me from trying to get to know them and just ask them. And so, like, for a principal, I would be visible. I would be out in the halls helping. One of my favorite things, I'm going to point again. Obviously, I'm not radio ready.
There's no video of this, guys. But yeah. I'll describe what he's pointing to.
So I had a student. He's in our deaf and hard of hearing program. And he came to me with his interpreter and he started to sign. And he's a student that I had conversations with before. Just, hey, how you doing? Like, what are you doing this weekend? You know, what are you excited about? He participates in some of our clubs and activities. And so I've seen him at after school events and things like that. And he came up to me with his interpreter and he started to sign. And the interpreter was telling me, like, Mr. McCabe, like, if you had to, just out of nowhere, if you had to describe yourself with one word, what would it be? And I was like, oh, that's a really great question. I don't know. I need to think about that. And then he's like, whoa. Also, the word has to be 6 letters. And I'm like, interesting. And I was like, so why does it have to be 6 letters if you don't mind me asking? Because now my scope of words has been way limited. And he said, well, McCabe has 6 letters in it. And I said, okay. And I was like, oh, okay, I get what we're doing here. And I said, well, you help me out. Like, cause I'm really, I don't know. Like, you know, I like to laugh. I think things are funny. That's not 6 letters, whatever. And I was like, what do you think? Like, what do you think, you know, would be something that describes me? Even if it's not 6 letters, like maybe we can come up with something. And he said something to me. Sorry, I talk with my hands all the time. I just knocked glasses off the table. Hopefully we'll edit that out. He said something. He's just like, you're always helping. And I just really, you know, it's just one of those things that, like, I think working with kids, that's the kind of stuff that you just can't put into words that you get. The kids will just say something like that to you that is like, this day's a good day. Like, yeah. This worked. Like, it's worth it. And I was like, okay, well, what about helper? And he's like, yeah. And so, like, you know, that's all that kid was looking for, is that, like, you know, if I ask you a question, you're going to help me. Mm-hmm. Is there anything more that we need to be than that? Like, that our kids to see us as that? Like, you're not my mom and dad. You're not my guardian, which are my most important people, my family. Like, they're there to do things and help me be in the best position possible. You're not. You're a stranger. You know, you're the principal of the school. And then we get to know each other and we develop this relationship. But, like, that's what I need to be. Not just to him, but to every person in the building. Student, staff, doesn't matter. Is help. I'm there to help. I'm there to help you get through high school and on to the next step, and learn all those lessons. And I'm there to help you in all the ways in between, too, in the middle and at the beginning. like sticking through it when you're having a bad day, making it a better day, when you've had bad days and we're just looking to turn it around. Like, you know, that's what a good leader is, I believe, is a helper, someone that just wants to make other people's days better. And so, like, if I'm talking to a first year principal or assistant principal or anybody getting into leadership, like, at the end of the day, just help people as much as you can. And put all your passion into that and all your energy into that, and good things will come from it because other people will see it. Maybe they'll start helping too, and that's how you can start to really build on some wins and put your school in the best position possible. You know, and I think I'll end with, you know, what's the point? I think the best buildings have great cultures, and you are constantly battling things that are going to dig into culture. There's things inside the building and outside the building that are going to chip away at the things that you're trying to do inside. And so you got to fundamentally focus on some things that will push you forward. And I think if you're helping people, if you're there supporting people, if you're being nice and kind in trying to create your culture and making that a space that people see that and want to be a part of that, then you're doing good work. And so focus on your culture. Focus on kindness, focus on caring, focus on helping people, and I think you'll be off to a really good start.
Well, we really appreciate it, and I think just that idea of connection and building that culture is such an important part of what we do as leaders. So we appreciate you being on here. Dr. Kinoy, thank you for another great podcast. You want to say anything before we go?
Yeah, I want to say that, John, I enjoyed this chance to get to know you, and another six-letter word is leader. And as I think about it in connection with you, you are a leader that really cares about people and values them. And I can tell, like, it's every member of your school community. You know, we always like the word stakeholder. I just like to call them people,
yeah.
Right? You know, and you definitely have those attributes of that leader that wants to serve your community.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot. And, you know, I get to work alongside Nathan, so I'm a very lucky guy because I see the work that he does in bringing these students to the West High School area. And I'm,
well,
I
know I'm it's nice. Lines. It's short nice. Lines. I know that as their elementary principal, that their principals are only going to get better. So I set a very low bar for the parents and kids, and then they just get to, they keep going up. And I'm, well, this is a mate. So
you do.
I do my part in that.
Part for the district.
Yes. Set a low bar.
Yeah.
That's no.
I always hear the absolute best things about Principal Birch and everything that he's doing. So don't sell yourself short. I think you're one of the best.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being on this podcast with us and taking the time out of your busy schedule and being here. I know I've learned a lot, and I appreciate your perception on those things and perspective on those things. So thank you guys. And thank you for tuning in to What's the Point?